book of Ephesians, 6th chapter. Please stand as we read the 18th verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I do want to thank you for the precious word of God. And Lord, I thank you so much for all of your promises that are there in your word. And Lord, how you've blessed us and helped us and undertook for us in so many ways. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of offering up prayer requests. And Lord, for the privilege to look back and remember how many of those prayers you've answered for us. We're reminded tonight of your goodness and grace as we heard about Ashley. We want to thank you for that so much. And Lord, ask you to continue to heal and do whatever needs to be done in her body. And once again, as we preach tonight, we certainly need the power of God, need your wisdom. And Father, I ask you, God, for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think through the messages on the armor of God, we certainly have found out that because that we are Christians, we certainly are not finished with trouble. I think God lets us know that and warns us about it, and certainly lets us know the great need of the armor of God. And we certainly do need the armor of God. And then in verse number 18, he says something, and I'm just going to use the first two verses to begin with. He says, praying always. Right after he has given us a picture of the armor of God, and of course that's what he did, and he drew the picture of the armor of God, giving us an illustration, I believe, of a Roman soldier, giving us a picture of a Roman soldier, and using the same armor that he wears, and presenting it to us in that way, showing us the great armor of God. But he says that in connection with this armor, we've got the armor. He's told us about it, told us we must put it on. And then he says this, you can't quit praying. You've got to pray always. And I believe this is one of the great mistakes of we Christians. I believe we read the Bible and we think we've got it all down pat and we think we don't need anything else. And so because of that, we fail to pray. I'm talking about really praying. I'm talking about spending time in prayer. And because of that, many times we are absolutely defeated, even though we may have all that which God gives us, or we think we have put all that on. We fail to do the one thing that God says in verse number 18 that gathers it all together and holds it all together and protects us. And that's praying. It tells us to put on the armor of God. You remember that song that said, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer? That is taken basically out of this verse of Scripture, this portion of Scripture. You take each piece of the armor of God and you put it on with prayer. In other words, prayer cannot be eliminated. I must caution you, I must encourage you in your Christian life and in mine that you cannot get by with not praying. Impossibility. It just is an impossibility, folks. You've got to get a hold of that. I've got to get a hold of that. We must understand that that's the way God works. That's a principle in which he works from. And we must pray. If you remember, we talked about the pieces of the armor and talked all about those, and each piece that can be used properly can only be used with a right relationship with God and with the right communion with God Almighty. It's not a matter of just putting something on. It's a matter of putting it on with prayer. You remember how we talked about the loins girt about with truth? I believe basically there, we discussed that and spent quite a bit of time on that, but I believe basically he's talking about there that we need to know of the glorious salvation, the truth of the glorious salvation. There's something about knowing salvation and knowing you have it, that it's yours. You know what it means. You know how you were saved. You know what the plan of salvation that God gave for us. And so he talks about the loins girt about with truth, the truth certainly of all the Word of God. But let me say to you, I believe in that position, he's basically speaking about the wonderful truth of the salvation that God has given us. And you and I need that. Multitudes of people today are walking around not knowing whether they're still saved or not saved because of false doctrine that is being taught in many denominations, many places. They teach that you can lose your salvation. And the thing about it is that's a lie of the devil. You understand that. Devil would love for you to believe that today. But the Word of God teaches us that we cannot lose our salvation. The main thing is we know we have salvation, and we know how we got saved. We know it was by the grace of God. It wasn't because of our works or who we are and how great we are, but God and how He done for us. And that's that wonderful loins girt about with truth. Amen. Of salvation. And then he talked about the breastplate of righteousness. The, guess we could call it the doctrine of justification by faith. In other words, remember when we went through that, we talked about that breastplate of righteousness that we go forth to the battle with is not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of God Almighty. And again, that's what you've got to remember, because if we walk forward into battle with our righteousness, we would be wounded, defeated immediately. It's impossible for us to do that. But when we go forward knowing that we have on a breastplate of the righteousness of God, that He has given us. My, what a wonderful breastplate that is. And then he talks about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And remember, we talked about how that we need to be on that secure, solid standing, not slipping back and forth, wishy-washy back and forth, but we are standing on secure ground. Amen. When you can do that, you don't have to worry about as you take the sword and yield a sword and use that sword. You don't have to worry about slipping and sliding all over the place and being blown around with every wind of doctrine and all those things. No, your feet is secure on the truth of the Word of God. And then he talks about the helmet of salvation. Of course, there I believe he's talking about the blessed hope, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the finishing of that salvation. Yes, we have that salvation, but folks, we know it's all going to be finished. Jesus is going to come get it. And no matter what happens to us down here on this earth, no matter what problems come our way, there is coming a day when Jesus Christ is coming to get us and to take us home, to be with Him, you see. That wonderful, blessed hope, it is there. It's secure. Nothing can stop it. And then he talked about the sword of the Spirit of God. And of course, we know that that is the Word of God. It holds back the devil's attacks. It also gives us a weapon to attack with. Amen. To drive him off with. You remember how Jesus used the wonderful Word of God and drove the devil off. He had to leave, even though it may have been for a season. He had to leave. Why? Because of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And God tells us to use that sword of the Spirit. Now, we have all of those in place. I believe securely, as we've taught through this, you have an understanding somewhat of what we're talking about, and you understand these wonderful truths. But do you understand if we leave verse number 18 out, we can have all those things in place and yet can still fail? And that's what God's telling us. Those pieces of armor that we have is a must. We must have it, but we must never, ever quit praying. You see, we can be orthodox in all of our doctrine and all of our beliefs. I mean orthodox. I mean right down the line, we have all of these truths down pat. We know their truth. We believe it. But we can still be doing our service for the Lord in the power of the flesh instead of the power of God. And that's where the danger comes in, you see. Just a mere intellectual knowledge of truth, although that's necessary. Let me stress that. We must have this intellectual knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. But it can't guard us from defeat. We need God's power. The only way we're ever going to get God's power and keep God's power in our life is through good, close communion with God. And that's done through prayer. We must remember that. You see, if we'll just look at the history of the church, and all you have to do is read a little bit about the history of the church, and in fact, look at the present church today. Just look at the present church today in America, you'll understand that we, most of the churches of America, are just dead orthodox churches. No life in them whatsoever. And folks, you can be good and orthodox in our belief, and if the power of God is not in our churches, we are a failure. We are absolute failures. And so we must understand that's what happened to the church. It's what happened all down through the history of the church. It's become simply just a little ritual that people come in and they do. I don't know whether you've been in churches before, and I'm not trying to condemn any church, but whether you've been in some of these churches before where you go in and it's like being in a morgue. Somebody gets up and teaches a Sunday school class and it's as dead as anything you've ever seen. There's no life there. Folks, that's where the problem is. They may even be teaching truth, but there's no power there. And above all, we need God's power, you see, or we're just a dead church functioning mechanically, but it's not, the work of God is not being done because the Spirit of God's power is not in that church, you see. It wasn't too long ago I told a brother that I was not as concerned about how polished an individual was as I was concerned about whether the power of God was upon his life. I want to say something to you. Moses, if you look back on his life, Moses was so concerned about how polished he was. In other words, he couldn't speak well. And I want to tell you something, that aggravated God. It made God mad. He said, "Who made your mouth? Who made you the way you are? Why are you complaining about the way you are?" You know what he wanted Moses to understand? That God was going with him. God's power was in his life. That's more important than anything else, folks. It's not whether you are eloquent. Let me say something to you about in the scriptures. If you want to look at the scriptures, let's look at Apollos. Apollos was the most eloquent, probably, preacher that the Bible talks about. The Bible even calls him eloquent. We'll probably cover some of this in our Sunday school lesson, but you've got to understand something. Was Moses eloquent? Was Paul eloquent? The Bible says that they thought his speech was contemptible. Now we look at the Apostle Paul, we think, oh, he's a great, powerful man. He was powerful, but he had power of God. And the people looked at him and said, his speech is contemptible. And all we want to do today is look at someone's speech and his oratory ability and whether he pronounces words correct or not and whether he murders the English language or not, and we determine that exactly whether he's a good preacher or not. Now, I'm not okaying any of that. I'm not saying we ought to brag about those things. I'm just simply saying, folks, that doesn't determine. What determines is the power of God upon a man's life. I'm not too much concerned about the polishing of an individual. I'm more concerned about the power of God of an individual. Because I'll guarantee you something, God knows how to polish. He polishes every stone he turns out. And he does that over a lifetime. I think sometimes of young preachers that's just beginning, and sometimes we're so hard on them, and what I need to do many times, and I try to do, is remember back. I remember when I preached my first sermon. And I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not saying I'm a great preacher now. I'm just simply saying it's a difference. And sometimes we expect these new young preachers to step out with all the eloquence that they should have that'll come down the road when God gets done polishing them. And he does polish them. That's up to God to do that. But the most important thing is this. Every preacher, young or old, can have the power of God. And that determines his preaching. That's what's important. So I'm just simply saying that the mere intelligent knowledge of the truth, and although it is necessary, let me stress it again, we need that, but you can't be guarded from defeat with just knowledge. We need the power of God. And he says to us then, what do you do after you get this armor on, after you go out to battle? Well, you've got to pray always. You've got to pray always. You know why? Because your dependence must be on God. And when you, through prayer, that's what you are showing. And you're saying to God, I need you. I may have all these other things. I have my doctrine right. Boy, I know what the gird about with the loins of truth is. I know all those things, but I want to tell you, God, if I don't have your power, it isn't going to do any good. If I don't trust in you, it isn't going to do any good, you see. So everything we do must be done from a spiritual manner. In other words, it must be brought to life. It must be quickened by the Spirit of God, or it's useless for spiritual work. See, the letter killeth, the Bible says, but the Spirit giveth life. You want to know why there's not more life in our churches? Do you understand it? Do you see what I'm talking about? You know why there should be life in our churches? Because the Spirit of God gives life, produces life. We ought not to be dead Orthodox churches with no life in it. And life is not always just emotionalism, but you know the Spirit of God is there. When people walk into this church, they ought to know the Spirit of God. God is there, not only from the preaching, but from the individuals that sit in the pews. Spirit of God ought to be evident from you as well as the preacher. You ought to be Spirit-filled listeners as well as having a Spirit-filled preacher. Amen. Your responsibility to be Spirit-filled is just as great as mine. Amen. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God needs to have control of our services. We need to, when we come into these services, the power of God ought to be evident there. God ought to be doing something through all of us as we're used by the Spirit of God to bring honor and glory to the Lord. See? Yeah, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You notice in verse number 10, and I want to show you something, maybe it'd be a help to you. In verse number 10, you remember back when we talked about being strong, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, we covered that, but if you'll notice, what he did was he stopped after that verse of scripture talking about the power of God, being strong in the power of God and in his might. He stopped right after that and began to give us the picture of the armor of God. Amen? But look at it. If we'll read verse number 10, let me read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's skip the armor of God. Let's start again by reading verse number 18 now. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, you can take verse number 10 and you can skip to verse 18, and it is following. What he did with verse number 11 through verse number 17, he stopped and said, here's the armor of God you need. Picks up again in verse number 18, and he's saying, you be strong in the Lord. How you do that? Praying always. Praying always, you see. In other words, we just need to know that we are totally dependent upon the Lord. And folks, that's something we got to grasp. We got to get a hold of. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. You can't do that without prayer. Now, I can't do it without prayer, folks. It cannot be done. We've got to be in communion with God Almighty. We've got to be dependent upon him, and that's what happens in prayer. When we go to him, we're saying to him, we need you. We need your guidance. We need your power. We need everything from you, and we're admitting that. You see, and we're getting down on our knees or however we're praying, driving along in a car or whatever it may be. We're looking to God. We're saying we need you. You see. We need your power in our life, you see. It's remarkable if you go through the New Testament. It's remarkable. Of course, it is in the Old Testament too, but it's remarkable in the New Testament the place that prayer is given. All you have to do is read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's amazing. Folks, do you find him not praying? You find him praying. You find him drawing aside to a quiet place to pray. You find him praying throughout the night. Now, this is the Son of God. And the place of prayer in the New Testament and in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is just something outstanding. And that tells us something. He's picturing something for us. He needs to pray, he said. We must need to pray. And in fact, when he taught his people, taught his disciples and taught his people and of course taught us, he said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now listen to what he's saying when he says that. Listen to what he's saying. You know basically what he's saying? If you don't pray, you will faint. Now, folks, listen to me. That's exactly what he's saying. You must pray so you won't faint. And we need, again, understand that, folks. If we don't pray, we will faint. Amen? We will not be spiritual. You say, I haven't prayed in a long time. I'm doing all right. No, you're not. You're as dead as an old doorknob. If you haven't prayed, you are as dead spiritually as you can be. There's no life in you. You may be saved, but there's no life in you. They can't be, because God says you've already fainted. If you don't pray, you've already fainted. Your spiritual life is in terrible condition. That's what God is saying to us. Why? Because we need His power. We need Him. You see, and I'm sure you understand it, but you ever think about what prayer and Bible reading does? Prayer and Bible reading sets up a communication line between us and God. Now, folks, listen to me. Now, just listen to me. Does God listen to us? Sure He does. He says, pray. Pray always. That's us talking to Him. This is our Creator, God Almighty, saying, I want to listen to you. I want to hear you. At the same time, He says to us, I want you to listen to me too. And that's done through the Word of God. Through the reading of the Word of God, communication is there. God is speaking to us, and when in prayer, we're speaking to Him. Amen. Communication is there, and it is a must. Now listen to me. If you read your Bible and don't pray, you do not have a correct line of communication. If you pray and don't read your Bible, you do not have a correct line of communication. It's impossible. Do we understand? Amen. So there must be the prayer. That's how we talk to God. We talk to Him. We tell Him what we need. We lay our hearts out to Him. You see. And then we read His Bible and He talks to us. Amen. It's got to be. So God is saying, you got to pray always. You see. You're depending on God, you see, when you pray. You see. And then He goes on and He talks about, and of course, prayer. There's different kinds of prayer. You know that. There's the public prayer. There's private prayer. Sometimes we pray in public. I called him Brother Bo a while ago, and he prayed publicly here as a church. And we gather some after the services, and we gather with other individuals, and we pray together. And we pray also privately. We go to our private places and our closets and pray. Sometimes we pray aloud. Sometimes we pray without voice. We just pray from the heart. Going down the road, maybe just even kneeling, and sometimes we do not voice it out loud. It doesn't make any difference. Our God hears. You see, we do that. And you know, sometimes it talks about how the Holy Spirit of God, He talks about the groanings. I don't think that's the Holy Spirit of God is groaning, personally. I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't think it's the Holy Spirit of God groaning. He don't need to groan. He takes the groanings that we do and interprets them unto God. Has there ever been a time in your life, I'm sure I'm going to probably get to you, when I say, oh, God, help me. Have you ever just done that? Not even knowing what to say? Sure. And I want to tell you what, the Holy Spirit of God knows what you're asking for. Isaiah said, oh, God, rend the heaven and come down. That, oh, is the groaning. And sometimes you don't even know what to say. But the Holy Spirit of God does. He helps us in our praying. There's all kinds of praying, but what I'm saying to you folks, we must pray. We must depend on God. Now, I want you to kind of do a checkup, just real quickly. You do it individually. Are you praying? Any kind of praying? Do you honestly spend time talking to God, whether even maybe while you're doing your job or whatever it may be? Are you talking to God? Are you taking time aside and kneeling and praying? Are you just talking to Him? That's what God's saying. He said you must pray always. You can't quit praying. Why? Because it shows our dependence upon God Almighty, you see. And then He also talks about, in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. I think more than likely you understand when we talk about the supplications, this is, you know, there's all kinds of general prayers. We pray about everything. Amen. We'll just mention a bunch of, nothing wrong with this. That's what we're supposed to do. That's praying, just talking to God and asking. But there's sometimes, there's certain particular petitions that we have that we cry out. That's what He's talking about in the supplications there. Special requests that we have upon our heart. This is supplication to God. Oh God, I need You. Help me. You don't do that with all your prayers. But when supplications come, he says prayer and supplication, he separates them. You remember over in Philippians, he said, be careful for nothing. In other words, be anxious about nothing. Don't worry about everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. How? Prayer and supplications. There's times you just want to just supplicate yourself to God and cry out to him. Say, God, I don't know what to do. I need your help. Amen? And that's what he wants you to do. Exactly what he tells us to do is to do that. And then you'll notice in verse number 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, he adds something. He says, in the Spirit. Folks, there's a difference between praying and praying in the Spirit. Pharisees, you know how they judged prayer? If it was public prayer and the length of it. I mean, that was the big deal with the Pharisees. They said it out loud out in the public where everybody could see them, and it had to be lengthy. And boy, that was a great prayer, according to them. But they had a wrong standard. Now, we need to pray in the Spirit, you see. You can have the right mechanics in prayer and not be praying in the Spirit. You can even have a tone of voice that sounds so good. And words that just, you know, you are good at praying. And the Spirit of God knows nothing about what you're saying. You see, what praying in the Spirit means is simply this. Praying in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit of God is directing your prayer. He creates the prayer within you. Now, we are all different, and we pray different, and we may use, some may use more eloquent words, and some may use less eloquent words, and some may stumble around, but I want to just say to you, when the Holy Spirit of God directs the prayer, there's just something special about it, because it's Holy Spirit directed and empowered and created in you to come out. The Holy Spirit helps you pray. That's what he talks about, praying in the Spirit. So in other words, what we're praying is powered by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is empowering it as you pray, you see. Gives us freedom of utterance. Speaking from spiritual thoughts and ideas instead of worldly. Spirit of God will direct you to truths of the Word of God, to uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ and honoring him. That's what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God will direct you with spiritual praying. You won't be spending all of your time. Not saying you can't ask for things. We can. He directs us to. But you won't be spending all your time so concerned, so caught up with just things. But you'll have a desire in your heart when the Spirit of God says, I need somebody to get saved. My brother's not saved, and I need him saved. And God, Holy Spirit, is saying that on the inside. You need to do that. Somebody needs a special help and a blessing. They're sick or what? Oh, God, help them, please. Comes from a directed Holy Spirit of God dealing. Maybe there's some brother in the church who's maybe fallen away from God. Oh, God, help that brother. Not condemn him, help him. Help him get back right with God. You see, that's the Holy Spirit direction that he directs in prayer. And he helps us. So he says, pray always. Folks, listen to me. He's not saying just pray when you're in trouble. There's certainly nothing wrong with praying when you're in trouble. But he's not just saying pray when you're in trouble or pray when things are going wrong. He says, pray always. All the time praying. See, certainly pray when you're in trouble. Certainly pray when things are going wrong in your life. But folks, it ought to be like Daniel as he went up to the house and knelt. That's what he'd always been doing. He was in real trouble, facing the lion's den. Yes, he was praying, but he didn't just start praying then. He'd always been praying. It was his custom to do that. That's what God is saying to it. Let it be your custom. Just pray always, you see. And here's what I'd like for you. I'd like to recommend. If you find yourself neglecting prayer, take yourself to task. Sit down and have a talk with yourself. Say, what in the world are you doing? You have the audacity not to pray? I mean, just give yourself a good scourging. Amen? Folks, it's not right to not pray. The command of God says, pray always. Pray without ceasing. You're not always to pray and not faint. See, your dependence is not on God. If you're not praying, your dependence is not on God. It's on you. It's on the things you have, what you are. That everything will just turn out all right because you have the power. No. You better remember, I better remember, our dependence must be on God Almighty. You can have that whole armor that we've been talking about. You can have it all in place. You can believe everything that Bible says about that thing. You can have it all there, and you quit praying, and you'll be defeated. Because prayer puts back our dependence on the power of God in our life. So what's he say? Well, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, folks, listen, I don't want you to faint. I don't want me to faint. If we don't pray, we're going to faint. Well, I haven't been praying like I should, but everything's going all right. No, you don't understand. You don't get it. You're going to faint. And you've already begun. See, you've already begun to faint. It isn't going to work. Amen? So we got to pray. Amen? Troubles is going to come your way. Heartaches is going to come. Bad times are going to come, and they're on their way, folks. We've got a man in the White House who's going to be sure of it. Will you listen to me a minute? You know, I always give the Congress and some of them people, you know, the devil on things. Thank you, Mr. Trent Lott. Thank you, Mr. Dick Armey, for standing up against homosexuality. Thank you, Mr. Lott, for standing up and saying homosexuality is sin. And Dick Armey coming along and saying, you know what, that's what I find in the Bible. Thank you. Thank you, Congressman. Thank you so much for doing that. And then a Clinton spokesman coming out and said, well, that's why we can't get anything done in Congress, this backward thinking of these people. Exactly what he said. You see, we better pray. We better pray. And I think somebody tonight, Brother Lloyd, did you mention for our nation, to pray for our nation tonight? I wasn't sure whether somebody did. I thought said, I wrote it down anyway. Maybe I didn't hear. I wrote it down anyway. But anyway, we better pray for our nation. Amen. We better pray for our nation. I'm telling you, things are bad. Now, what are you going to do when things really get bad? So, oh, I'm making it all right. No, you're not. You're going to faint. You're going to faint dead in your tracks. You know why? Because the Bible says you are. You say, no, I won't. Yes, you will, because God says you will. If you don't pray, you're going to faint. There's going to be a place down the road. You're going to faint. You're not going to make it. You're going to have troubles. You see, I'm just simply saying to you and I, we were supposed to pray. Now, if anything tonight, if it's an encouragement to you, if you'll just get a few of our people remembering how important prayer is, and it'll start you on a life of prayer, oh, it'll be worth it. That every day of your life. Now, Satan will fight you. He'll fight you tooth and toenail to keep you from praying. But God says praying always. You must pray, folks. You must pray. We're defeated if we don't pray. Amen. So I trust that if you're not praying, you'll start praying. If you're praying, then continue to pray. Just keep doing it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you. Oh, how good you are and how wonderful you are to us. And the great privilege you give us to pray. And Father, what an honor and what a privilege it is to come into the throne of grace. And Lord, seeking that mercy and that grace that we need. And Lord, finding it in you. Thank you so much. And once again tonight, as we've admonished ourselves concerning prayer, help us, O God, to understand the importance of it. And Lord, that if we don't want to faint, we're going to have to pray. So I ask you, Lord, to bear that truth upon our hearts and use it to change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.